The Winter Olympics finishes up tonight, but don't despair. The Winter Paralympics gets underway from March 6th, and that is where our next guest is headed. He is the CEO of the Australian Sports Commission and has a fair old Olympic story of his own, winning gold in Barcelona and then in one of the all-time great performances in the history of Australian sport, won gold from lane 8 in Atlanta. Kieran Perkins, welcome to Summer Grandstand.
Well, you know, thanks for having me.
Kieran, how often do people bring up Atlanta, by the way? Is it a daily occurrence? Is it weekly?
Depends entirely on your generation. Those of us of a similar age, yes, it's always brought up. But, you know, there's a cutoff. Certainly Gen Z's have got to Google me. I'm not sure how millennials go, but, you know, it's par for the course, but it's all good.
Do you feel sorry for your Barcelona gold? Because it just doesn't get the same attention that the Atlanta gold gets.
Oh, look, I think like many of our Olympic and Paralympic athletes, it's such a privilege to do it. To the fact that I got that cut through and people were so engaged with what I did is just huge. So I don't analyse it because it's just it's too good to disrupt.
Kieran, we're rapt to have you on, being a sports show that covers all things from quirky sports to very well-known mainstream ones. It's wonderful to have a chat with you. You've been in the role as CEO of the Australian Sports Commission now for 4 years. I remember having a chat when you just started and you outlined a vision and it was early days for you. If you reflect on where you were at in your mind with your vision for Australian sport when you started and where you stand today 4 years on, what would you like to think that, you know, has materialised the way that you hoped?
Well, look, in terms of ambition, nothing's changed. I think, you know, the things that we're trying to achieve and the experiences that I'd love everyone engage in sport, no matter what level or what type of sport they're involved in, being you know, positive, fun, safe, and something that, you know, develops a lifelong love of is there. I mean, it's shocking to think it's been 4 years already because in so many ways I still feel like I've only just got the gig and there's so much going on. But, you know, when we look at the little micro moments, there's amazing stuff. I mean, the success of the team in Milano Cortina so far at the Olympics, we play a role. And, you know, when you contemplate for us that, you know, in 24, the government through Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, you know, they gave us record funding, which enabled us to support the athletes in this journey, leading them towards LA 28, the French Alps in 2030 and Brisbane 32. The speed and pace of things is extraordinary, but that support's been fantastic. And I think when you look at the way Australians generally are engaging with physical activity, you know, there's been a lot of things that have been impacting what's going on in the system. But, you know, we've done a lot of work to support the development of guidelines, principles, helping our sports, you know, improve their governance and delivery. There's a heap on. It's a work in progress, but there'll always be a lot to do.
So, Kieran, some people might be listening, thinking to themselves, what is the Australian Sports Commission? What exactly is the role of the Australian Sports Commission? What would your headline answer to that be?
Oh, so, look, if I want to keep it as simple as possible, we're the federal government-owned company that takes all of the money of the federal government that goes to people and programs in sport, and we work within the industry to support that delivery and programs through grant funding, both from participation right through to elite delivery. There is an enormous amount of stuff that sits under that, but that's the headline.
And I love that you have simplified it like that because I was going to say it's simply complicated. And before you stepped in to the role, Kieran, and people who follow sport and the politics of it would be aware, there was, you know, I'd say a real crunch point. It was 2020 and we had John Coates, the head of the AOC, you know, exchanging, you know, it was highly political between him and the then chairman of the Australian Sports Commission, John Wiley. Some would say it was a really dark day for Australian sports to have the two heads of these really important bodies at war, in words at least, in the press. Tell us how you feel that that has developed, because at that point there was high friction between the AOC and the ASC.
Look, I think that's been one of the important things that, that everyone in the industry has been trying to do, is to align collaboratively and work together. I mean, I know it sounds cliched, but the reality is that the things that we're trying to achieve and the outcomes that we all want to see happen, we have a lot more in common than we don't, and we all need to get the best out of every piece of funding, every piece of capability, every piece of resource that's in our system, you know, to make sure that we can support the, all of the stuff that we'd like to achieve. And so I think we're in a really good place at the moment. You know, when you see some of the impact of things the way that we're working on the Para Uplift initiative, so more recently, Sports Minister Wells has really gone to bat and enabled us to invest $54 million into para sport to entirely change the pathways, the talent ID, and the opportunity to bring people through. That takes an enormous system of people to deliver within the clubs, the states, the national sporting organisations, the games partners like Paralympics Australia, Australian Olympic Committee, Commonwealth Games Australia, to do that work. And I'd go so far as to say that I do take quite a lot of pride in actually how much that has come together and the work that, you know, we've done to set small agendas aside and work on the bigger things.
We are talking to dual Olympic gold medalist and CEO of the Australian Sports Commission, Kieran Perkins, who's heading off to the Winter Paralympics in just a few days. It must be a really tricky part of the job when you get your funding in from the federal government and deciding how you disperse that among the probably hundreds of sports who are looking for funding.
Look, it is actually amongst the bigger tasks that we have, because, you know, Australia's we're a pretty unique place. We're sport mad, and unlike pretty much all the other countries of the world that we compete against, Australia wants to be able to compete and do well in everything. We're a little bit socialist in that regard. We'd like to see everybody have their chance, and so it's a big amount of funding, but it's going to a lot of different areas, and that's where that alignment and that working together comes in, so that we can actually make sure that, you know, when we're building facilities or engage with our partners to build those facilities, that they're going to leverage as many sports success elements as possible. And when we're working with our sports, you know, because one thing that I often have to say, just to remind everybody, this is taxpayer funds. You know, we are not entitled to this money. You know, the Albanese government is entrusting us with that precious resource to do what we do. And so we work really closely with our sports to make sure that, you know, there's clear strategies that they're trying to achieve, whether that be in high performance through their win well strategies or in participation through their play well strategies. And then holding us all together accountable to make sure that the work that's being done is aligned to those best strategies to deliver the right outcomes, so that, you know, we can look everybody in the eye after it's all said and done and say, we absolutely spent this money well, we've done the right thing, and it's achieved outcomes which, you know, all Australians can be proud of.
We speak to so many athletes who say that the funding that you're talking about and that you decide on how it's disseminated, they simply couldn't survive without it. And it can surprise us that athletes can, you know, become national heroes and sheroes for a quick hot moment and then, essentially live off the smell of an oily rag and their passion for their sport. Can you see a day where It might be different for athletes where they might not be relying on the kind of funding that you disperse. I know it's a contentious one, but in the UK there was a lotto system. Is there a way that you can see athletes earning more than just the dollars that they currently do, unless they're on the back of, you know, cereal boxes and the really famous and highly sponsored ones?
Yeah, look, it's a mixed bag, right? And I think, unfortunately, there's no single answer to it. One small point of order, the National Lottery in the UK does provide funding, but not as much as the federal government in Australia provides to our high-performance systems. So a lottery would be cool and all, but it's not actually the answer. And we have a whole federated government model that means it can't do it anyway. But apart from that, you know, our system is extremely competitively funded in that regard. I think what we, again, need to sort of fall back onto is that recognition that, you know, because of the volume of sports that we want to compete in, you know, we've got through the Sports Commission, we fund, I think it's 46 different high-performance programs at the moment. The UK is less than half than that. And, you know, countries like the Netherlands, you know, a third of that or less. And so lots of money, but spread thin. I don't think that there's ever going to be a time when all of our athletes would be in a position where they're earning, you know, a taxpayer-supported living wage. And it's why we have to work together as a system more broadly to be able to say, yes, we need more support, but that support's got to come from multiple streams. It's obviously through the sustainability, commercial sustainability of sports. It's through athletes getting a better share of the money that's generated by the big commercial competitions that they're involved in. It's continued government support at all levels. And look, to be honest, there's also you know, opportunities for athletes individually to take the step forward. I mean, I look at a lot of our most successful athletes from a money perspective in the Olympic, Paralympic and Commonwealth arenas where we focus, and the vast majority of them who have actually done well, and I'd put myself into that category, work just as hard, you know, outside of our sport to earn, you know, income from the opportunity that sport's provided and the attention that it provides. So, you know, to be a full-time athlete with 100% of your income coming from sport, you know, that's a goal that we're all working hard towards. But I think there's always going to be a very, very long tail of different paths to success.
I think we look at the medal tally in Milan and we can say money well spent by the ASC, particularly when I see Australia ahead of Team GB on the medal tally. That puts a smile on my face.
Don't we love it?
We do love it. You're off to Milan this week. Do you have a favourite Winter Olympic sport?
Well, look, I have to admit, actually, I do love the Winter Olympics because I'm a skier, and so and I'm a bad skier. I was watching, for instance, the women doing the Super G at the Olympics in Cortina, and I've skied that course. And right, while it takes them a few minutes, it takes me a couple of hours, and you right, know, I do a couple of hundred turns to their dozen. But you know, I do like the alpine sports, but I think, you know, when you watch guys like Cooper Woods doing his thing, or Scotty James, I mean, Danielle Scott, what a hero to be able to throw yourself up into the air and spin around like that and do what they do. It's all exciting. It's all very cool. But I'd probably go out of my way to watch, you know, some of the match racing events. I think they bring an extra excitement to the mix as well.
Our position on the medal tally, Kieran, as you'd know and you would celebrate, defies logic in many ways because we just don't have the ice that some of the other countries do, of course, in the world. Tell us about the impact that you think that the winter training facility in Queensland has had, and do you directly relate that to results that we've been seeing in Milan Cortina?
Oh, look, there is no doubt whatsoever that the Jeff Henke training facility has been a game changer for our aerial sports and their ability to train throughout the year. The fact that our athletes don't have to be in the Northern Hemisphere for 9 months of the year now, they can actually spend more time at home, makes a big impact. It does go a lot further than that, though. You know, so the Sports Commission, we have a European training facility on Lake Varese in Gavrate in Italy. And, you know, we had over 220 athletes go through there this year that, you know, they've got a home away from home, an opportunity to get back to Australian medical care and support while they're doing their international Northern Hemisphere work through Europe. On-site engineering at the AIS, you know, especially when the para team comes through, you're going to see some very cool equipment that those guys use, and the work that we do here to support them makes an enormous difference. And the thing that I always am amazed by is the resilience of our athletes. And when you contemplate the injuries that some of these guys get, you know, in this cycle, you know, people like Jakara Anthony and Valentina Giselli have had really significant injuries that have required them to, you know, spend a lot of time at the AIS in Canberra, getting rehab, helping them get back on their feet, but better than ever. There's a lot of things that this Australian system is the envy of the world over that we're able to do.
Well, Kieran Perkins, we really appreciate your time on Summer Grandstand. We wish you all the very best for your trip to Italy for the Winter Paralympics, and we look forward to you putting a video up on social media of you coming down the slopes there in Milan, maybe going over one of those jumps.
Well, you know it's going to be frightening. So there is a number of Paralympians who have already said to me, "Oh, are you going to come out and have a ski with
us?"
And I am looking forward to being horribly embarrassed and shown up for my lack of skill and talent, so you never know.
All right.
I feel like, Kieran, when you say you're a bad skier, that would not be that bad. You might just be, just quite talented and humble. But, yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
No, I appreciate your time. Thank you both.